Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees, a podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Union of Their Dreams, Power, Hope. And Struggle in Cesar Chavez's Farm Worker Movement is a historical narrative by Miriam Powell that examines the rise, internal tensions, and eventual fragmentation of the United Farm Workers Movement. Rather than presenting Cesar Chavez as a solitary hero, the book reconstructs the movement as a collective project shaped by organizers, lawyers, clergy, volunteers, and field workers whose efforts made the union possible. Powell, an investigative reporter and historian, uses this broader lens to challenge the familiar hagiographic version of Chavez and to show how leadership, strategy, sacrifice, and personality politics affected the movement over time. The book is especially concerned with how moral authority, labor activism, and grassroots organizing intersected in California agriculture, and how those forces produced both major gains and lasting disappointments. It is both a biography-adjacent work and a history of labor struggle, aimed at readers who want a more critical, textured account of the farm worker movement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book recasts the farm worker movement as a collective achievement, not a single leader legend. A central argument of the book is that the United Farm Workers cannot be understood by focusing only on Cesar Chavez. Paul deliberately shifts attention to a group of organizers and allies whose labor sustained the movement from within. This matters because labor history is often simplified into a story of one charismatic figure, while the actual work of organizing requires lawyers, field workers, clergy, boycott teams, and local leaders. By emphasizing several second-tier participants, the book shows how the movement drew strength from ordinary people with different skills and social positions. That approach also changes the meaning of leadership itself. Chavez remains important, but he is presented as part of a network rather than as a solitary savior. The result is a more realistic account of how social movements operate. They depend on distributed labor, institutional cooperation, and sustained commitment, not just on public symbols. This perspective helps explain both the movement's successes and its vulnerabilities. Because a coalition built by many people can also be strained when recognition and authority become concentrated in one person. Secondly, Powell examines Cesar Chavez's moral authority and the role of sacrifice in movement discipline. The book pays close attention to Chavez's use of Catholic imagery, fasting, and disciplined public ritual as tools of leadership. Powell does not treat these elements as mere personal quirks. Instead, she shows how they shape the culture of the union and the expectations placed on supporters. In that sense, sacrifice became both a spiritual practice and an organizing strategy. The book suggests that this style of leadership could inspire devotion and solidarity, especially in moments of conflict when a movement needed a shared ethical frame. At the same time, the same moral language could become demanding and controlling, because followers were urged to prove commitment through endurance and obedience. Powell uses this tension to explore a broader question in activist politics: when does moral symbolism strengthen collective purpose, and when does it begin to narrow debate? By treating Chavez's religiosity as politically consequential rather than decorative, the book explains how idealism can both mobilize and constrain a movement. Thirdly, the narrative traces how grassroots organizing built power through boycotts, strikes, and public persuasion. The book offers a detailed view of how the union translated sympathy into practical pressure. Its account of the Delano grape strike and the national boycott shows that farmworker activism depended on more than protest alone. It required disciplined organization, message control, and the ability to make consumers feel connected to labor conditions in the fields. Powell presents the boycott as a sophisticated act of persuasion that linked distant shoppers to the realities of agricultural labor. That linkage is one of the book's most important contributions, because it shows how a local labor dispute became a national political cause. The movement succeeded not only by confronting growers directly, but also by convincing the public that buying decisions carried ethical weight. This is why the book resonates beyond its historical setting. It demonstrates how consumer activism can function as a lever in labor Sangharsh, especially when workers lack conventional power in the marketplace. At the same time, Paul makes clear that these tactics required enormous effort and coordination. Boycotts, marches, and strikes were not spontaneous gestures, but carefully maintained campaigns that relied on the discipline of people who often received little public recognition. Fourthly, the book is also a study of internal conflict, authoritarian drift, and organizational fragility. One of the book's most valuable features is its refusal to end with triumphalism. Paul shows that even a celebrated movement can deteriorate when leadership becomes more centralized. Dissent is treated as disloyalty, and strategy is driven by personality rather than shared governance. The later history of the United Farm Workers includes growing internal divisions, departures of experienced organizers, and a sense that the union became less open to democratic participation. This is not presented as a simple betrayal story, but as a structural problem that often afflicts movements built around charismatic authority. When one figure becomes synonymous with the cause, criticism can be redirected against the organization itself, and practical disagreements can harden into moral conflict. Paul's account of this decline matters because it prevents readers from confusing symbolic victory with institutional durability. The book suggests that movements can win public admiration while losing internal coherence, and that those losses may be as consequential as outside opposition. For readers interested in political organization, this section provides a sober lesson: legitimacy, once personalized, can become a liability if it suppresses the collective mechanisms needed for long-term survival. Lastly, Paul's method combines investigative history with a corrective to hagiography. The book stands out for its documentary, reporterly method. Paul draws on interviews, archival material, and a carefully balanced narrative voice to create a history that is sympathetic without becoming reverential. That method is crucial because it allows her to challenge an established public image without reducing Chavez to a caricature. Instead of replacing one myth with another, she builds a textured account that can hold admiration and criticism at the same time. This makes the book especially useful for readers who want to understand how historical reputations are formed and sustained. It also explains why the book has been praised as a major contribution to Chavez scholarship. It broadens the frame from biography to movement history, and from celebration to. By focusing on the lived experience of organizers and the practical mechanics of activism, Paul provides a more durable explanation of why the union mattered and why it struggled. The book's value lies in that balance. It is not a polemic and it is not a devotional biography. It is a corrective history that treats the farm worker movement as a complex human achievement, shaped by vision, discipline, conflict, and compromise. In conclusion, The Union of Their Dreams is best suited for readers interested in labor history, Chicano history, California history, social movements, and the making of public icons. It will be especially valuable for students and general readers who want a more critical understanding of Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers than celebratory biographies usually provide. The practical benefit of the book is that it shows how organizing actually works through alliances, institutions, symbolic action, persuasion, and persistent field-level labor. Its intellectual benefit is that it complicates a familiar hero story and replaces it with a richer account of collective action and internal conflict. Compared with many books in this genre, Powell's work stands out for its refusal to simplify. It is historically grounded, balanced in tone, and attentive to both achievement and failure. That makes it more revealing than a standard inspirational narrative, because it explains not only how a movement wins public support, but also how it can weaken from within. Readers looking for a nuanced, evidence-based history of the farmworker movement will find this book both corrective and substantial. If you would like to support Miriam Powell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.